Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Now, the one thing we do not want is rain on Saturday. Two reasons. One, there'll be no cricket. And B, I won't know what to talk about on Monday night. It means I'll have to talk to Mr. Smith again. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. How are you doing?
You don't want rain, do you?
No way.
No, we don't want rain at all.
Fortunately, my 8 cricket matches so far have been...
You're on a different mic. Why are you on a different mic tonight?
Well, I just thought...
18 months you sit in that corner on that mic, and tonight it changes.
I just thought I'd sit here for just a change of scenery.
You didn't tell me.
Yes, I'm over here. I'm the one in the red.
I mean, that top you're wearing, it looks like the sun rising in the east.
Well, we're both wearing red. One of us will have to go home and get changed.
Dear. Right, good evening, Mr. Smith, on a different mic.
Good evening. The 8 matches I've umpired so far have all been played on wonderful sunny days, and I've yet to do a rain-affected match. So it can stay away as far as I'm concerned, because that's when umpires start earning the money.
It can stay away, but by that forecast, I don't think it will. Let's see who's making the headlines. And it's cricket that's making the headlines. And the Barnburn Road Academy enjoyed a good couple of days at the primary school's county cricket finals. The year 6 girls finishing 4th and the year 4 boys claiming a fantastic 2nd. While the year 5 boys had to watch while it rained. But they're going to get their day in the limelight. It's going to be rescheduled. Our 6-for-16 star Finlay Bass is just coming into form at the right time, winning the latest round of the Mallory Park series. After sitting in the pack for the whole of the race, a devastating turn of pace on that last lap saw him over the line. And another victorious youngster was Jude Dutot. He won at Lichfield in the under-10s boys race there. And cycling is one of our subjects later on tonight.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And a little bit more on sport, local sport, is that the Newark Rugby Club are the finalists in the Youth and Mini Section of the Year Awards of the National Rugby Awards for 2017. Isn't that fantastic?
Excellent.
Yeah, that really is good, isn't it? There's about 6 clubs named, from Wigan in the north right down to south, and little old Newark are in there, one of the top 6 in the country for the youth. And we said on, was it? It was Tuesday night, wasn't it? With the boys from the rugby club, Dickie Marshall, who started it all off.
I don't think when it comes to rugby union, it really is little old Newark, is it? I
mean, it's not, is it?
Newark are up there as a force in in the country.
And an ex-Newark youth player, Joe Hayes, is in the England squad for the under-18s tour of South Africa. Joe now plays for the Leicester Academy, but he started at Newark.
It is quite incredible the amount of quality international players that Newark have produced.
It most certainly is.
I mean, going back to sort of the likes of Dusty Hare, Glyn Britton, people like that, it's quite outstanding. And it shows the quality of rugby players that the town produces, and B, the quality of the coaching that there must be in the youth setup at Newark.
It's really is fantastic. A couple of stories before we make our first telephone call, because I know you're a bit of a rugby league fan, top north. And Leeds Rhinos captain Danny Maguire is set to leave at the end of the season after 15 years with the club, or whatever sport you're in. 15 years with one club is not...
It'll be a massive...
Not to be safe to. The England and Great Britain halfback Maguire, 34, is the leading try scorer in the Super League history with 233 tries, and is 4th on the Leeds all-time list. No definite plans to make what he's going to do next season and beyond. We are now 2nd in the league and in the Challenge Cup semi-finals, and that is where my attention is focused now. Made his debut in 2002. So, definitely a one club man.
Look.
Here we go. Oh, he's got a band on saying Leeds Rhinos.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
My club.
your club, along with Berwick and Leeds United.
No, my club at Rugby League.
Almost anybody from Yorkshire.
No, it's a fantastic sport. Have you got time for a funny story?
Tony, I've always got time for one of your stories. Go on.
Very brief. I was doing...
That would be hoping too much.
I was working for a radio station in Bradford called Pennine Radio, and the main commentary match was... the main commentary match was Leeds United. And it had been raining for about 7 weeks, and I was sent to do Warrington versus Castleford. And all I had to do was 20 minutes scoreline, half time, considered peace for 2 minutes, halfway through the second half scoreline, and all the rest of it. It had been raining, as I say, for about 7 weeks. You couldn't see the players. They were absolutely covered in mud, both sides. And suddenly in my headphones it said, "We've lost the commentary at Leeds United. Commentate now, Tony, go." And it was one of those occasions...
No, they actually said, "Tony, go."
But it was one of those occasions where the brain stops and the mouth keeps going. And the following morning, I walked into the studio on the Monday morning, and the sports editor was bent double over the tape machine, with tears in his eyes, and there were four reporters stood around all laughing their heads off, and I knew it was me. So I went up and said, "What is it?" And the sports editor wiped the tears from his eyes and said, "Tony, I've been covering rugby league for the last 23 years, and it's the first time I've ever heard the phrase handball."
And that's what you get when you get Tony Smith. And you even timed it right.
See, professionalism to the last.
I can't tell you what a man. Venus Williams has beaten Britain's Hungarian Australian. Yeah, don't, else we'll be told off. Johanna Konta, 6-4, 6-2 to set up a Wimbledon final. And I'm going to dread this against Spain's Gabine Muguruza.
She's a cracking player.
Is she?
Yeah. I saw her in an early round, and she's not only a great player, but she's a great looking mick as well.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
That's, in my world, all that matters, really. It does. We've had to rejig this one around a bit because our sporting superstars, of course, are all over the place. And where I was going to do me run a bit towards the end of the show, I'm going to do the run a bit now. But it does give me an excuse. Once again, not for the first time tonight, and probably not for the last, being as nobody has told me not to, I can play some music. Probably. It's there.
Oh.
It just starts quiet.
Chariots of Fire.
Yes. And you'll find out why in a couple of minutes. Of course, this music is obviously our runner's music, and live to somewhere on the pavements of Bolton or Newark to our runner, Becky Gallup. Good evening, Becky.
Good evening, mate.
You see, you've even got your own music now. I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
You've had an interesting week, haven't you? Away from the limelight a little bit, you was working on Sunday morning at the Not Fast 10K.
Yeah.
Then it was a fast car to Cleethorpes. Basically, to do what you don't like doing, not running the marathon. You was running for the club on distances that are completely alien to you.
I was.
Tell us what you ran. You've gone again. Becky, are you there? Hello, Becky.
Oh.
Becky.
Hello.
Yeah, go on, I've got you again. No, I think I've lost you. Okay, I think we're going to have to...
Let me try and go somewhere else.
Okay, I can just about get you. Becky, of course, is doing this interview while running, Tony, would you believe?
Okay.
So...
I never associated Chariots of Fire with shot putting.
You haven't got there yet. Right, are you with us now?
Is that better?
Oh, that's wonderful. Right, well, don't move now. Right, what distances did you run on Sunday afternoon?
So I did the 3,000 metres... 1500, and then I did 400, and then I did the 400 relay as well.
Me 400? You're only just getting warmed up normally.
I know. That was right in between 3000 and 1500, so I didn't actually run that one very fast at all. But in the relay, I tried my hardest, and yeah, it was agonisingly slow compared to everyone else. But it was a team effort, so it was nice to run as part of a team.
And of course, what we omitted to do. It's mentioned that you're also currently New York's number one shot putter.
I am, yes.
You never ever thought you would get that title, did you?
No. No. I think everybody would laugh if they saw me.
Now, Gareth had you down as 8.79 metres, but you're claiming that's not what you threw.
That's definitely not. 100% not what I could throw. I was about half that. I think I did it just over 4 metres. And I was definitely last this time.
I thought you were going to add to it, not take away.
Yeah.
But come Wednesday night, come last night, we saw Becky Gallup in her element.
Yeah, I enjoy. Yeah, last night was much more my distance. So it was just under 5 miles. Part of the summer series at Worksop. It's a lovely course because it goes right out into the woods, and even though you start and finish in the same place, it feels like you're doing it all downhill, which is quite nice, weirdly. So yeah, it's a great course.
And you finished?
And I was in second place last night.
Happy with that?
I was really happy with that. Right, and I beat my time last year by about 1:40, so big improvement over the last 12 months, which was even more pleasing to hear.
And you've straight from that and out training tonight, I understand.
I'm just doing a little run tonight, yeah.
I know your little runs.
I'm not training, it's not a training run, it's just an easy run to save my legs, just to give my legs a little recovery run after you know, a few days of hard miles.
Tonight is also a night, Becky, when up at FlowServe, a lot of people are going to say goodbye to the other half of what's become a cracking double act.
I know, I'm going to try and get down there, actually, after my run, so I'm hoping to get down there about 8:30-ish to see him off. Well, so yeah,
it'll
be a big miss, he will.
He will. We will certainly see you there. Anyway, the main reason for ringing you tonight is because you put yourself out so much, and I said from the outset, we do a Radio Newark Club Runner of the Week, and I said from the outset I wasn't going to let any of the superstars into this one. It was for a club runner, but for getting in that car and going out to Cleethorpes and doing what you didn't want to do, but doing it for the club, Becky Gallup, you are the latest to go on our Wall of Fame as Radio Newark's Club Runner of the Week. So, well done,
thank
you.
Thank you very much.
Well, star glittering prize. You get your name on the Wall of Fame.
Woo! Just what I always wanted.
It doesn't get better than that, does it?
It doesn't.
Lovely.
Well, I hope see you two tonight, but nice to speak to you, Mick and Tony.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Have your run, and we'll see you later.
See you tonight.
Yeah, see you later.
All right, bye-bye, Becky. Bye-bye. Becky Gallup, there are... Club Runner of the Week. I mean, she was packing away at gone 12 o'clock. I've got to be in Cleethorpes for one. Hang on a minute. You're going to struggle here.
She's definitely my favourite ever shot putter. Number one.
You would never win that in a pub quiz, would you? Who knew what leading shot putter was? You really wouldn't.
I'll give you a clue. She's 4'3" and weighs 3 stone.
Oh dear. We're still going to go live to Newark Castle Cycling Club. They're out tonight. And we're going to talk to Megan Williams. And me and you've got an awful lot of talking to do as well, because tonight's the night. We're going to try and start something that somewhat petered out last year, our FA Cup dream. We're going to start, because it's the FA Cup first Premier League round coming up, believe it or not, second October, even August.
Yeah.
So I've chosen my team. You're going to pick your team, which is, I'm going to give you a choice of the local ones to Newark, and we're going to see how far we can both get.
Well, this could be very interesting, actually, because, as you know, me and Jim Mackay are writing a book about this season's FA Cup, or this forthcoming season's FA Cup, called First Round to the Final, an FA Cup Adventure. And we are picking the most local fixture to Newark, and then following the winners into each round during the course of the season's competition, and then writing a book.
I'll tell you later what the most local fixture to Newark is, if you don't know.
Has a draw already been made?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You're a professional now, son. Just stick with me. But before we do that, I want you to put your umpiring head back on again.
Okay.
Okay. Stump microphones should be scrapped if they're going to be used to ban players for foul language, says England captain Michael Vaughan. South African pace bowler Kagiso Rabanda has been banned for the second test against England after the microphone picked him up swearing at Ben Stokes. I'm not supporting bad language, said Vaughan. I just don't want players missing tests. If the stump mic is going to pick these things up, I'll get rid of it. Rabanda received a demerit point and was deducted 15% of his match fee as a result of the incident, which occurred after he had dismissed Stokes during England's 211 win at Lords. Thoughts, Mr. Umpire?
I agree totally, Michael.
With?
Mr. Vaughan.
Right.
Because there's always going to be, in men's sport, there's going to be swearing, and it depends, as an umpire, how you decipher that swearing. If it's directed at somebody, then it's an offence. But, you know, if you run up and you bowl a bad ball or it just misses the outside edge, then you're not going to go, oh, dearie me, at the height of battle, are you? And therefore, as an umpire, you just go with the flow. And, you know, like, sort of...
The same as, let's be honest, when you've just got possibly the world's current number one all-rounder, right, you're not going to say, bye.
Stump mics are obtrusive. And, you know, it's up to the umpire to dictate the course of the game, not technology.
But the referee's mic'd up in rugby union.
Yeah.
Now, you can hear what him and the players say.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem.
But rugby union is a grammar school game.
What's cricket, then?
It's a bit more...
I mean, I know where you're going to go with football, but...
Yeah. But if you've got a referee in a rugby union game, he's not going to swear, and the players aren't going to swear. And still to this day, the players say, sir, when they're addressing the referee.
The crowd do. At Newark, the crowd was calling him sir.
Which makes me cringe.
Yeah, to be honest.
I'm a product of a Bradford Grammar School, and it just still makes me cringe when I hear that. Oh, sir. My good God, you know, why don't they come in short pants?
I'm a product of the Grove, and nobody from the Grove calls anybody, sir.
No, it's just, makes me toast girl. But stump mics in cricket are an intrusion on the privacy of the players. What goes out in the middle should stay in the middle.
I can't see any need for stump mics, apart from what you've just said. There's no need for them, is there?
There's no need for it. It's just when you're covering sport, with television, or indeed radio to some extent, they want to be out there in the middle where the action is. And their job is to be in a press box or behind a television screen. Leave it to the lads in the middle to sort it out.
You see, now and again, it does talk sense. It would be an understatement to say it's an absolutely massive weekend for Suggy's Gym and one young man in particular. But there's only one person that can tell us all about what's coming up this weekend. So live from Suggy's Gym, our very own Megan Williams.
Hello, Megan.
Hiya.
Hiya.
I take it everybody's buzzing.
Yeah, everyone can't wait.
Right, just tell our listeners, because I haven't said anything, just tell our listeners who's in New York and why he's in New York.
So, our very own Bailey Bad Boy Subden is fighting at Madison Square Gardens on Glory 4E3 on Friday, early hours Saturday morning. So, he fought in an 8-man tournament on Road to Glory on the 11th of March, I think it was, or sometime in March. And he got into the final, had a tough fight in the final, and got a two-fight deal contract with Glory. And Glory is one of the biggest promotion, well, is the biggest promotion in the world for K1 kickboxing. And Bailey has flew out to make his Glory debut to all the way over to America, New York, to fight and show everyone who Bad Boy Bailey is.
Madison Square Gardens is like a footballer playing at Wembley, isn't it?
I think it's a little bit bigger than that.
You're a kickboxer, I'm not arguing.
All the top fighters have fought there, so it's where everyone wants to fight.
Exactly. And
Who's out there, Megan, with him?
Everyone at the minute. except
you.
Except me. And Regis is still running the gym. I'm keeping him in line, making sure he's doing everything.
So Dean's gone out there. That's Chad and Regis.
Regis is here, but Dean flew out with him on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And Chad flew out today with him. Obviously, his mum, Effie's sister, his cousin. So I think quite a few people have gone, but who wouldn't want to go to Madison Square Garden to see Bailey? A great fighter.
Do we know anything about his opponent?
Not really, but it's his first fight with Glory, and Glory doesn't just sign nobodies. They always sign someone, you know, with good technique, good power. So I think Bailey could be in with a tough fight, but Bailey's going to smash it.
You're just
Bailey
biased.
Bailey always smashes it.
You're not biased, are you, Megan?
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
If Megan says she's not biased, she's not biased.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, it's good enough for us. What sort of time is it on Friday? It's Friday night into Saturday morning, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's on early hours Saturday morning. I know it's on UFC Fight Pass. So, and I think it starts either 3 or 4. So, and I'm going to stop up and watch it.
There's a surprise. Well, you put something on Facebook. I'm sure the boys over there will put something on. But if you put something on as well, we'll report it. And then we'll talk to you, Megan, if we can, one night next week, and you can tell us the full story of the biggest fight ever in Bad Boy's career. Yeah, will you do that for us?
Yeah, that's fine. Just give me a time and a date and I'll make sure I'm here.
Lovely. We'll do that, Megan. It goes without saying that the whole of Newark is behind Bad Boy for this one, but
definitely.
I think one of his biggest supporters is going to be cheering from the front room, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be shouting my head off, and my mum's going to be shouting at me, telling me to be quiet at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, yeah.
I think your mum's got a point there.
I've been seeing you when he was at Grantham the other week. Then yes, lovely. Megan, we all wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for taking time out to join us and talk to us, and we'll catch you up with you again next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan. Bye bye.
Thanks, Meg.
See ya.
Bye. Oh, she's wonderful. Wonderful.
But Madison Square Gardens, my goodness.
Doesn't get better, does it? I mean, wherever he goes next, it is not better. Not better, that's not English, is it? It cannot get better than Madison Square Gardens. It can't.
No, but I mean, Megan's got a point there. It is better than Wembley for footballers. That is the ultimate
it's the pinnacle. There's a picture on Facebook on yesterday, Wednesday, standing in front of Madison Square Gardens.
I'll
tell you.
I would give my right arm to box there.
You'd probably lose your right arm if you box there.
Probably get the same result as well.
Anyway, we're going to try something new in a minute. Live sport.
Okay.
We've talked about sport. We're actually going out to an event.
Cycling.
Hopefully, in a minute, if I can make it all work.
Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. with Mick and Tony. Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Missed one of our shows? Don't forget you can check out the podcasts and get the very latest sports news daily on our website at radionewark.co.uk.
And like Becky Gallup and like Megan Williams, we're going live to where the action is. We're actually going to Newark Castle Cycling Club now, and they're out and about tonight on a bit of a special night for them. We're joined from the roadside somewhere in Nottinghamshire by Julie Pritchard. Yes, they're all there. Hello, Julie. Julie, tell us a bit about where you are and what's going off.
So we're at the side of a road in a little lay-by where you basically just drive around and you spot someone in a yellow jacket. How do you find it? What's your picture? What do you look for when you find those?
Where are
you
coming from?
Newark. So if you're coming out from Newark, you come find us.
Down Staple Lane. Ignore the right turn.
The next right turn, there you go. With that random.
Anyway, why is there a group of ladies in yellow jackets in a lay-by?
Because that's what we like to do on Thursday evening. Yeah. We also have biscuits.
You also have biscuits? We're on our way.
We have
we can play music, we're on our way. What's the cyclist up to tonight?
So tonight we have what we call our Grand Prix de Gentlemen. It's a two-up, and that means that we send riders out two at a time. The idea of this evening is to introduce people that aren't familiar with a time trial format with the safety and comfort of going out with someone they know or someone more experienced.
Excellent, and you can do the father-son bit, in my case, the grandfather-son bit.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got one of our juniors out tonight with his dad, so he's had a go around the course tonight and done a really good time. He's just taking his gloves off now and eyeing up the donuts.
And this, of course, is probably a way as well of getting new young blood into Newark Castle Cycling Club.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why we like to do this. We do it every season. We do it round about this time of year when everyone's winding down from school and so on. Just to get people to come out and have a go. Normally, you've got to be 13 to ride. But tonight's an exception.
At the other end of this scale, I was honoured to spend some time with you all last Thursday night in all that heat when you had the 22-mile time trial, South Muscombe to Ollerton and back.
Yes, that's what we call our hard ride for obvious reasons.
Yes! I was tired talking to you all about it.
it opens our season on a Sunday morning, that one. So that's generally in April. We open the season with that one, and then we run it again towards the end of the season. So if people want to ride both, you can compare the times. And we have a cup for the best time.
Of course. It's exciting times for Newark Castle Cycling Club. We've watched maybe happening at the...
Oh, yeah.
At the centre. And, of course, the Tour of Britain... coming to Newark.
I know, it's brilliant news. As soon as I found out, we were sharing it all over Facebook. And what are we doing?
And what are Newark Castle Cycling Club planning for that week?
So we're hoping to put something on for the junior riders. We normally have our juniors, we run a go ride, a British Cycling go ride course on a Tuesday night, every night at Muscombe at the moment. So with the Tuesday night being the night before, we're hoping to put something on for the juniors. We're also hoping to do a try-out time trial on the Thursday, so the day after it comes through, which is a less formal time trial event. And hopefully something else as well. We're still waiting for some confirmation, but it'll be on our website and Facebook page when we know for sure.
Because Newark Castle Cycling Club have been on the go an awful long time, Julie, like Newark Tennis Club, like Newark Athletic Club.
Yes.
And for years and years, you've battled on with facilities which, at best, are non-existent and at worst, a disgrace.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. At the moment, we've got our juniors riding round in a field, because we used to ride out from the school on London Road, but obviously, when that school closed, we lost our facility in Newark.
It's frankly not good enough, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. We've got plenty of young kids. The Tuesday night is very popular, and to have something regular in Newark would be a real bonus and something that we could enhance people right through from 5-6 year old right the way through to seniors would be amazing.
We're building up on Radio Newark the first week in September. Talking to yourself tonight. We've got David Miller coming in for the full hour next Wednesday night to talk about the life and times of a Newark's professional cyclist. So David's going to come and do that. His daughter's popping in a couple of weeks' time when she's over from America. And then, of course, we really are going to get into this thing. It is really, this is Newark Castle Cycling Club's big opportunity to put themselves on the map, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And we would welcome anybody's input, whether they just tootle around on a bike every now and then, or whether they've been inside our club members for the 70 years it's been going, nearly.
Brilliant. Julie, I know you're busy tonight. We're going to get you into the studio as well before before that week in September. So I'm going to have a chat on that one. But for tonight, you've got your timekeeping to do and your and your biscuits and donuts to sort out.
We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Just remember, look for the ladies in yellow in a lay-by.
With biscuits, yeah.
You'll all get reputations.
Oh, yeah.
Julie, thank you so much. You're a star.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Julie Pritchard there in fine form.
She's sounding lovely.
Fine form. It's just in a lay-by dressed in yellow. Okay.
I think it was the biscuits and donuts that got me.
Well, this is it, you see. It's an age thing, Tony. You're sort of... So, for the rest of the evening, folks, it's me and him.
Yes, but do you realise we're on the cusp of history here? Because I didn't realise. Yeah, because me and Bully have already written three chapters of this book, or I've written three chapters of the book about me and Bully to introduce us. And chapter three, we went to Whitby Town versus Skelmersdale United, just to show people the experience of a match day in me and Bully's company, Bully being Jim Mackay.
And both clubs have since closed down. Come back to that in 5 minutes, because I've got to do the next, which is the football transfer window.
Oh.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And Everton have made a club record £40 million bid to sign Gylfi Sigurdsson from Swansea. The Icelandic international has been left out of the Welsh side's tour of the United States. The Toffees and West Ham are a number of clubs looking at 23-year-old midfield Mario Lamina from Juventus. Bury have rejected a third £500,000 bid for James Vaughan from Championship side Sunderland, although the latest news I have of that one, it's gone up to £900,000 and is on his way. There's a surprise, isn't it? The few that I've picked up, and the big news of the day, is that Kyle Walker, Spurs to Manchester City. £45 million plus £5 million add-on. Question one, Tony. Why would Spurs sell somebody to a rival? Are they still and always will be a selling club? And don't they class Man City as a rival?
I think Tottenham Hotspur had a fantastic season last season, and indeed the season before. And why they would consider selling one of their players to a Premier League title-chasing team like themselves.
Says nothing for Tottenham, does it? Nothing. Doesn't. Moving on. West Ham looking at Giroud and Walcott from Arsenal, apparently.
Why?
Your face was a picture on that one. The Dirty Leeds have signed two players today, including the Macedonian international. No, I'm not even attempting.
Oh.
That's nine new players they've signed already in this close season. Nine! I'll come back to it. After this, I'll come back to Leeds, because I know you're the one of your many loves. Arsenal finally splashing the cash with Monaco winger Thomas Lemar lined up for £45 million. Forest look like they're going to lose a summer longer. Remember, Burnley £8 million, Watford £10 million. It now looks like Middlesbrough £14 million. Why would he go to... He's going to a Championship side that's no better than Forest. Yeah. Jacob Murphy is keen to move from Norwich to Newcastle. Apparently Newcastle was his boyhood club. Norwich wants £16 million. Newcastle want to give him £8 million. Newcastle are at least being realistic in all this, but they're not getting the play. So you would assume somewhere in the middle it may meet. But, you know, So he's going to go on strike now, I suppose, until he gets what he wants. That's a modern-day footballer for you.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Dirty lead. There's some things in football that I like, there's some things in football that I don't like. Two of the things in football that I don't like are Derby County and Leeds United. I don't like Derby County because they're Derby County, and I don't like Leeds United because at one stage I was managed by the worst ever manager in football, and who took football back year upon year upon year with the most atrocious dirty tactics ever known to mankind, and that was Don Revie, and that's not up for debate because I've got the microphone. Since then, or in the past 3 or 4 years, they've had countless owners, hundreds of managers, and I really begin to feel sorry for all the supporters of Leeds United. Now they've got yet another Italian as a manager, but this one sounds like he wants to do things right. One, he's installed his own manager. Nobody's ever heard of him, but he's installed him. On a long-term basis, that's 2 months in Leeds.
Month.
He's bought the ground back from the City Council already. That's got to be one hell of a step forward. And he started ground improvements.
I see.
Because they've only got one stand, haven't they? One stand and three sheds, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And he started a big ground improvement campaign. And they're going out and buying players. Do you think now, at last, finally, these United fans can see some sort of sunshine at the end of a tunnel?
I think they can, but I just go back to your earlier comments, and I had a lovely evening in the company of John Robertson, the former Nottingham Forest and Scotland winger, who scored a winning goal in the European Cup final, so you would think he knows what he's talking about. And we had a long, long chat together before we spoke at the Holy Trinity 40th anniversary dinner, and John said they were only called dirty leads by teams that couldn't fight with them.
Yeah, fight with them.
When it came to football,
fight with them.
They could out
football. That's all they wanted to do.
They could out
fight.
They could out football teams, but the ones who thought they were dirty was the ones who couldn't compete against them when it got rough.
Now, the ones that thought those dirty, they're the ones that wanted to play a football match.
Well, you play a football match against Leeds, you'll get out footballed. You try and kick him, you'll get out kicked. But
no, not having it.
Well. Are you talking as a Newcastle fan or as a Forest fan?
No, I'm talking as a football fan. And Don Revie took football back years fan. With those tactics. Right, OK.
But the modern-day Leeds, it sounds very, very encouraging. And
it does, and I'm pleased for... There's a lot of guys in this town that support Leeds, and support Leeds correctly.
Yeah.
They are Leeds fans, and they've suffered. Crap, they've suffered.
We have, and the thing is about them that they've been a laughingstock for many, many years, probably since about throughout the 2000s.
Yeah.
And, you know, like sort of at the turn of the millennium, they were up and competing in Europe, you know, and suddenly it all went terribly pear-shaped, really at the time of David O'Leary, and they've never recovered since, but this new guy comes in and, you know, like sort of improving the grounds, buying it back from the council.
Yeah.
Buying players.
No.
Then, you know, you start to think, hang on a minute, things could be on the up.
A new guy in at Forest, a new guy in at Leeds. It could, you know, who knows? Who knows? We'll have this conversation again in October.
Just as an interesting aside, my eldest daughter is getting married 2 weeks on Saturday. And my wife is...
That means he's having another day off in umpiring. He goes on holiday for 2 weeks and misses two matches.
No,
he's now going to miss
only miss one match.
He's now going to miss another one through a wedding, which he could turn up for the evening, do no problem at all. And well, he calls himself dedicated.
I've got to give her away. I'm going to stand at the front of church and shout, she's pregnant.
Will somebody take her?
But basically...
this is not another story, is it? I've only got a quarter of an hour.
No, this is... But my wife and I were talking about what we're going to do with grandchildren, and I said...
Give the poor kid time. He's not married yet.
No, but I said, what happens if he turns out to be a Forest fan? And so Lucy said, could you do it? And I said, I could actually, with my grandson, go to the City Ground in a red and white scarf and cheer for Forrest. It would be a hard thing to do, but you do anything for love, don't you?
Dear. It was a cracking weekend last week, wasn't it? I'm moving on. It was a cracking... if you're going to get soppy...
I can't wait for this FA Cup bit.
You've got to wait. It was a cracking weekend last week, so let's have a look back.
All right.
And a look forward.
It's back.
It's back.
Our old tune.
Local hero.
The play now, song, Michael.
So who was your local hero last weekend? Was it Amy Hunt, the fastest girl in the UK... under 17, 11.76 seconds. Second home, 12.07 seconds. They could have waited for a bus and be quicker. She's that good. Adam Holland, who once again completed the Great Barrow in Suffolk, 10 marathons in 10 days. And guess what? He won every single one of them. And guess what? He came home to work in the evening as well and then travelled back through the night. And then raced.
And guess what? It's his round tonight.
And guess what? It's his round tonight. Tom Evans, who come to see us last night.
He was a grand lad.
Third best 400 metres runner at junior level in this country. Or Tutoring School. Sporting Friday to remember with their lacrosse and seven-a-side netball teams representing Newark in the county finals. And the netballers coming home second. Edward Kovac. Newark... Castle Archers. 3 years ago, there wasn't even a club. Now he's representing the county. That's how good that club. Not only representing the county, but captain of the East Midlands. Senior team, even though he's still a youngster. Ed Howlett. Ian Russell, who won that 22-mile time trial. Barnby Road Academy, year four boys, finishing second in the county at cricket. Finlay Bass and Judy Top both winning their races. And that was just in the last 6 days in the wonderful world of Newark Sport. So what's going to happen in the next 6 days? Who knows? But are any of these going to be the stars? Amy Hunt is representing England in Dublin in the Home Nations Schools Championships. Dave Tilley and Stacey Atkins are in Bolton for the Ironman. Stacey's coming in to see us next week to tell us all about it. I mean, I've seen what they've got to do. It's unbelievable. Amelia Crispin is at the Yorkshire Junior Triathlon. Finlay Cranage is at round 9 of the BMX Midlands Series. And Jeremy Reichelt, you know, from Newark Half Marathon fame, not fast fame, one of our guests, he's in Dundee. For their marathon.
Yeah.
And on Monday, assuming England haven't already beaten South Africa, the mascots at Trent Bridge are Barnby Road Academy. How good is that? And guess what? They're coming in next week to tell us all about it as well. And assuming the rain doesn't wreck it, Bolton travel to Beaver, Collingham play Kimberley, that's fourth against third. That looks a cracker. In C, Caythorpe play Farndon. That's third against 10th. On paper, it's easy for Caythorpe. Farndon won last 3 of the last 4. It's not that going to be easy. Radcliffe play Fiskton and Ferguson. That's important because Radcliffe are 4 points in front of Farndon. So Fiskton and Ferguson can do them a favour. In E, here he is, he's smiling. Kirkby Portland against Newark R&M. Newark R&M, 41-point lead over the third-place club. Portland, 4 points off a relegation spot. Can there only be one winner? There better be only one winner. In F, Basford play Flinton, third against third. Gotham play Gaunton, bottom against fifth. And in L, Chilwell play RHP. Whatever you're doing this weekend, we're watching you do it and we'll report about it after the event. So I've given Tony time to think who his star of the week is. I keep putting the wrong mic up. Who his star of the week is. So, Mr. Smith, your star of the week is...
Tom Evans, because his dad's the Top Gun. It's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, like, we invited Tom and Don on last night. Don, in his position as chairman of Newark Athletic Club. We didn't know we were meeting a Top Gun who's also a GB bobslayer.
Tony and I walked across the parade grounds with our microphones at the side of us and our helmets on.
Oh, it's still my favourite film of all time.
All we need is the Top Gun music. Come on, Mr. Producer, I'm sure you can sort something out. Right, last year we started a bit of fun with the FA Cup. And one thing and another, I didn't carry it on. And when it got boring, i.e. when the professional clubs joined, it sort of just disintegrated. That's not going to happen this time. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it correctly. So unless Derby turns out to be one of my teams, we'll see it through till the end.
All Leeds.
If they do, well, no, I can probably just about, but if it's Derby, no. So the FA Cup first preliminary round has been drawn. The most interesting tie of the whole round is Northwich Victoria, who reached the second round 2 seasons ago and the third round in 2006, will play 1874 Northwich, a breakaway club formed 5 years ago.
Really?
Yes, that should be fun.
Wow.
A total of 737 clubs have entered the 2017-18 competition, with 370 of those starting their campaign on the weekend of the 5th and 6th of August, with 185 extra preliminary rounds will be played. The extra preliminary round is the first of 6 qualifying rounds before the first round proper on November the 4th. The two Northwich teams will also face each other in the North West Counties Premier Division next season. They're going to get to know each other, aren't they? Northwich Victoria were beaten 3-0 by Premier League Sunderland at the Stadium of Light 11 years ago. Well, they're not Premier League anymore. There are 18 clubs taking part in the FA Cup for the first time, including Whitchurch Alport. The Shropshire side was formed in 1946, which boasts former Northern Ireland striker Jimmy Quinn amongst its former players. So the draw has been made, and the winner of the extra preliminary round ties will receive £1,500 in prize money. What we're going to do is start it. I've picked my team, and I've gone away from Newark, because you're going to go as close to Newark as what we possibly can.
Yeah.
Okay, which is what you're going to do.
In the book.
In this book you're writing with J.K. Rowling. Okay. So, as close as you're going to get. So, if you pick one of these. AFC Mansfield will play Hall Road Rangers. Staveley Miners Welfare will play Loughborough University. Retford United will play Quorn. Clipston have been drawn at home to West Bridgeford. Renough have been drawn at home to Shepshed Dynamo, and Harrowby United are drawn at home to Grimsby Borough. They are your local teams. Harrowby, Renough, Clipston, Retford. We did AFC Mansfield last year, so we're not doing them this year. So, Retford, Clipston, Renough or Harrowby.
When I moved to Nottinghamshire for the first time with BBC Radio Nottingham, my first ever job in this county was with Renough Miners Welfare at Wembley. So it will be a fantastic honour to follow the fortunes of Renough in their match. And therefore, Renough Miners Welfare are my pick.
So tie 64 on the 5th of August, Renough Miners Welfare versus Shepshed Dynamo is going to be Tony's pick. It probably another weekend off from umpiring to go and watch it.
Is it a Saturday game?
Yes. I know. Unless it's on TV.
Are there any of the teams locally playing on a Sunday?
No, they're all Saturdays. Oh. They're all 3 o'clock Saturday.
No.
Me, I'm going with the grandchildren just to start in a different part of the country, because all these are regionalised to start with. We're going from Seaham Red Star in tie 10, who are playing Whitley Bay. So I'm going with Whitley Bay.
Yeah.
So before then, we're going to have your job is to come back on this programme and tell me a bit about Renough Miners Welfare, which shouldn't be difficult for you. My job is to find out something about Whitley Bay and learn how to pronounce Whitley Bay properly. So we're going to do that. We're going to find a bit of fun. A bit of fun, because, yeah, The FA Cup is still... I know they say Arsene Wenger's only won the FA Cup half a dozen times or something, but, you know, I'd love to support a football team that won the FA Cup. Mm. I really would. I mean, all those Wigan fans that won the FA Cup, now they're sort of playing in nobody league against nothing, and wherever they are, aren't they? They're back down in Division 1 or something, can't they? But they still won the FA Cup against Manchester City, and you can't take that away from them.
Mm. It's just... It's the best competition in the world.
It is. And we're going to follow it. We're going to follow it. It's called local sport, this is, but nay-ho. Sometimes we don't do local sport.
I think the great thing that comes across in this programme is the love of sport as a whole. And it doesn't matter what sport it is. We just genuinely love sport. But the FA Cup is the pinnacle of sporting.
It is.
The sporting world.
And that's where we're going. Next week... Talking of sporting greats, Dave Miller's coming in. It's a long time since I spoke to Dave.
Hmm. It must be 20 years since I've seen Dave, probably plus, because I didn't know he had a daughter, and you were telling me that he's actually got three daughters.
And he's a granddad, so congratulations to him.
I mean, me and Dave had a great relationship when I was sports editor at the Advertiser, and he just is a... And I'm sure he still is a top bloke.
He is. He most certainly is. We've also got Helen Hellison coming in to tell us what Active for Today is going to get up to over the summer holidays for everybody.
That'll be fun.
That will be a good one. And Stacey Atkins, who, another wonderful, wonderful chat. It's the first time I've got Stacey into the studio, so we've been looking for that for a long time. And she's going to talk to us about the Ironman. Tony and I now, we're going to make a run for it down to Flow Surf Club, when we're going to say a sad farewell to a Newark sporting great. And I'm going to call him a legend. He's only been here 4 years. Even Tony's going to agree. Adam Holland. Bye-bye.